Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loans studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Super Bowl 51. Hey, it is 1 week away, and the countdown is on as we're looking forward to the big, big game right here in Houston. We're so glad you are with us on this Friday night, and I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Very excited to break down the big game, but right now, we're actually going to take a step back, and let's talk about the Green Bay Packers, what happened, and why they were not able to advance to the title game. So many questions that we're going to address in our next segment. We are so delighted to have back with us, first time in 2017, that is Tom Pippins with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Big E. How are you, my friend? You and your wonderful listeners.
Oh, I'm outstanding. Always looking so forward to a segment with you. I know you're a bit disappointed because the Packers did not advance. They're not going to be down here. But you have had an opportunity to digest how that game played out. Were the Falcons, were they just so good and explosive offensively? Or was it just because the Packers were just too banged up?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to pull out of a deep depression because I thought I was finally going to get to see Big E in Houston.
Oh,
so, you know, all
you.
Places. My goodness gracious. But they certainly gave us a great ride. And I would say the theme that you heard was we just ran out of gas. And I think that was true. And a defense that had been so banged up. Playing people, you know, you put a free agent, a kid who really gave his best, in Ladarius Gunter, but a free agent who lacks speed. You get on that turf and you're trying to cover, I think, the best receiver in the league right now in Julio Jones. My goodness, Grant, that's just the start of it. Clay Matthews with a shoulder that needs repair. He wasn't able to do much. You can go right down the line. They didn't have their top corner, Sam Shields, from Jump Street, really, after the concussion. He's had several, unfortunately. I'm concerned for him going forward. He wants to play, but boy, oh boy. So I do think they ran out of gas. I think the injuries, but let's also credit the Atlanta Falcons. This is a team that is playing on all cylinders.
Sure.
And not only offensively. I was a little bit surprised that the Packers, I knew that the Falcons would put up points, but I thought that the green and gold, particularly the way Aaron Rodgers was playing, would be able to hang with them, and maybe it would come down to whoever had the ball last. But the Falcons showed that they're made, I think, Big E, somewhat in the image of Dan Quinn with his defensive coordinator background with Seattle, and they drafted some good young players, speed players, and Deion Jones, linebacker, and Neal, the safety. And these kids are just, among others, very outstanding. The Packers, as you know, you had a Mason Crosby missed field goal. You had a real, real untimely fumble from the Packers' perspective by Aaron Ripkowski. It could have been a 10-10 game, and I think whenever you lose the turnover battle, as you know, you're going to lose a football game, and the Packers just couldn't keep pace, and then it just became a blowout. The Packers struggled really to put 21 points up, and by the time they did, it was over. It was 31-0.
Right.
You know, that to me was shocking, but I think if you take it in full, you can see why it might have happened. It was a perfect storm. The Falcons at home, the last game in the Georgia Dome, and playing great football. I think they totally deserve to be where they're at. They are. And the Packers, again, coming up just so close, but unable to get over the hump. Mike McCarthy has lost 3 of 4 now in the NFC Championship game. So now it's up to Ted Thompson, the GM, to see what he wants to do going forward. They obviously have to do something with that defense. Big E, let me just throw this at you, and then I'll give it a rest so that you can ask one of your great questions. Tom Brady is a magnificent quarterback, but his defense has rarely, if ever, given up in all the years that he's played 33 to 35 points. The Packers' defense in Aaron Rodgers' 7 playoff losses, I believe, have given up 35 points on average, just about, and 3 times 40 or more. Mm-hmm. So where are you going that way? You know, I don't care how good you are, how effective the offense is. And, of course, the offensive line got banged up, and that messed things up. You had a receiver in Ty Montgomery who helped the season become a running back after Eddie Lacy went down. A lot of bullets were going right at them, and yet they somehow managed to dodge them until they got to the ultimate game, at least in the NFC.
You are listening to the voice of Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. That is Tom Pippins, a regular guest right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, Tom is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. Tom, you've hit on a number of things, of course, defensively, but, you know, when I think going into that game, you know, watching Aaron Rodgers, you know, his body language before the game, you know, you could just see the look in his eyes, just that wear and tear. I really believe in my heart that it affected him. And what he had indicated days leading up to the championship game, that he'd come down with a virus, he was not 100%. And that's your key guy to get it going.
Well, absolutely. And Mason Crosby had it as well. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to make an excuse for a man who had made 23, a record 23 straight field goals in postseason play, and you know about his dramatics to beat the Cowboys. But
ouch.
He had it. It was going through. Jordy Nelson had it. And imagine Jordy Nelson playing with those broken ribs, you know, with a flak jacket. It was just unbelievable to me, the effort by Big 87. But yes, I think that's a great observation by you, Big E. And I think, not again to make excuses for Aaron, who obviously was off. I mean, still ended up with 3 TD passes and 1 pick, but he was not nearly what he had been in the 8 weeks prior to get to, you know, they, as he said, when they were 4-6, I think we can run the table. Well, they did, and then they won 2 playoff games, and I did, that's why I think, to a degree, and you're hitting on it, they did run out of gas. Not going to make excuses. Atlanta was clearly the better team. They're magnificent, and I can't wait for the Super Bowl with the Patriots. Should be a fabulous matchup, and frankly, I don't know if anybody can beat the Falcons if they play the way they have been playing against both Seattle, well, all season, but Seattle on the pack in the postseason. But yeah, Rodgers wasn't himself. There were breakdowns. You know, they fed Jordy Nelson, but other receivers were playing hurt. Devontae Adams with an ankle that bugged him the entire game. He hurt it late against Dallas. He'd been playing so well. Geronimo Allison, who had stepped up, had a hamstring. So Rodgers' targets, not a bunch. And once you get mm-hmm. down, as you're aware, by that much, now you're teeing off on Aaron. He took some vicious shots, and yet his competitive nature, I think, showed. He played hard to the very end. He was frustrated. There was a move there with the helmet to the face of the Falcon defender. Not his best move ever, but there was a lot of frustration, and yet 12 never gave up. And for that, you know, he is the ultimate competitor without question.
Absolutely. The Packers, of course, with massive injuries, what, losing 3 offensive linemen and 3 receivers playing with injuries. So really what you're saying, Tom, is there's only so much an elite quarterback can do like Aaron Rodgers. But I want to touch on, as you were talking about Jordy Nelson, he is going to get the Big E honor of the Comeback Player Award, because how in the world, you've spent time around him. Give us some insight on Jordy Nelson. I mean, how in the world does he do it? I mean, here's a guy, he's playing with fractured ribs, and he was active the entire game. You talk about someone playing with heart. That says a lot about it, is his intestinal fortitude.
Well, first of all, if you get the Big E Award, I'm going to tell Jordy that means more than the Pro Football Writer and the Sporting News, which he just got as well, Comeback Player of the Year in the league, in my humble opinion.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the ultimate effort for his teammates. That's what we asked him in the locker room, and that's exactly what he said. You just go out there for your team. Everybody's banged up, but you probably saw a couple of TV close-ups from Fox, and he was wincing him in tremendous
Absolutely.
Pain, I think.
Yeah.
After the first couple of catches, and Aaron wanted to get him established early, you could tell that everything was great labor. Anyone who's ever had a broken rib, a fractured rib, even a cracked rib, I mean, to try to make any movement is just excruciating. And to think what he was trying to do with multiple broken ribs, you know, in a 2-week span, I think some of these kids who were playing without, and Quentin Rollins in the back, who'd had concussion issues, and Morgan Burnett,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay.
quadriceps.
Yeah.
So these are people who played. You mentioned the injuries. These are people who played who probably would have missed multiple games had they been regular season games. But I think what Jordy Nelson did is nothing short of miraculous, at least as it relates to playing a football game, and he deserves all the credit in the world. He gave everything he had and then some to try to help his teammates. And, you know, he was probably the best receiver on the field with a touchdown pass and, you know, 60, 70 yards. So it was something to see. I thought that was special. And Aaron Rodgers became very emotional in his news conference, breaking down a little bit in talking about, he had to gather himself, Jordy, and what that meant to see him go out there. Of course, their good friends have been together on, for a long time. And we know that he missed the entire 2015 season with the ACL, and that's why he's gathered the comeback player of the year. He was tops in TD catches with 14, I think, during the regular season by a receiver. So outstanding. That was something that, to me, will go down for years to come. You look back and you say, there is something that was very special, what that man did for his team to try to be of assistance in the biggest game of the season, obviously.
Hey, we're doing a full recap of the Green Bay Packers season with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee's Tom Pippins tonight at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and the conversation continues. That's right, because Tom Pippins is with us from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. We're talking about his Green Bay Packers and a recap of the season. You know, you bring up a great point, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers getting emotional in that post-game interview. And there's been a lot of talk, Tom, about the estrangement of Aaron Rodgers with his family. What insight can you provide in terms of with that situation and, you know, his girlfriend, what, Olivia, mom? I mean, is there any hope for reconciliation?
Well, Big E, I'm praying that there is. I mean, we know that breakups in families are you know, far too often you hear about these things, and it often is easier said than done, and forgiveness and what have you.
I mean, this is more heartbreaking to me about than the Packers' loss. I mean, you've got to be able to see the big picture.
Yeah,
family
is,
comes
it
first.
Is to me, because, yeah, a football game, you know, and a season, they go by, but relationships, and there's a part of me, and I don't know Aaron well enough to say this. He does know, obviously, people, but I would like to say, and again, this is only one side now. You know, Aaron, you know, parents don't live forever. Whatever it is, hug them, tell them you love them, try to get it worked out.
But that's right.
You hear things, Big E, and I've always said people in our business sometimes we're dangerous because we know a little bit, but you don't know the entire story. So you hear things that whether the family disapproves of you know, the relationship with Olivia, or, you know, whether they're together or not together before me. There are so many things. And then his brother goes on TV and The Bachelor or whatever, and he bears all. And I've met mom and dad. They're great people. They're terrific people, and I think that Aaron is a terrific guy. There's an intimation that maybe celebrity changes people. You know, Ed and Darla are the best. It's a good family. I think Aaron is an outstanding person who's done so much for charities. I think it really, I was disappointed to hear that Olivia tweeted something about thanks to the fans.
Right.
For standing behind Aaron when his family didn't or something. And, you know, there can be no healing or reconciliation when you're throwing things out like that. But once more, I caution myself and all of us, including our great listeners, we don't know the entire story. But as you say, it's very sad, much sadder than the Packers. I'd much rather see reconciliation in any family, be it Aaron Rodgers or another, than the Packers go and win another Super Bowl. And a message for all of us within the sound of my voice, including me, life is too short, you know. Forgive, get the good Lord's help, whatever it takes. It's not easy, but it's a heck of a lot harder if you don't reconcile and if you carry that baggage with you. So I guess maybe we're veering off a little bit, but I'm on board with you, pal. That's very sad, and I really do hope and pray that it all comes together for everyone in the Rodgers family. There's probably enough blame to go around for everyone. So you
Absolutely, yes.
You want that reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Some solid, some sound advice. Hey, Tom Pippins, with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Go ahead and join us on Twitter at eRadio Sports, and you can always go back and listen to my one-on-one interview with Tommy P, Tom Pippins, with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee at our podcast page. That is podcastarena.com. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, 2017 in terms of what are going to be some of the biggest issues and personnel that the Green Bay Packers will have to address in the offseason. And I understand Aaron Rodgers, he's had some advice for the Packers front office and what moves that he would like to see take place.
Yeah, he certainly made mention in his news conference after the loss in Atlanta that is, I don't think we have to rebuild this thing, but it'd be nice to kind of retool it, if you will. They definitely need to make some decisions. I would first and foremost say offensively, Jared Cook is a tight end they definitely want to bring back. I know he had a couple of drops in the opening series there. Also, you know, came through with a few nice catches opening series of the second half. Jared Cook was just a monster down the line. When he's healthy, Aaron Rodgers, I think, 31 TD passes and two interceptions with Cook on the field. His yards at per average, two or three more. So big 89 gives them a threat that they haven't had since JerMichael Finley for a tight end. He made that incredible catch to set up the field goal, you recall, Big E in Dallas.
Yes.
So I'd like to see him come back. I hope they bring T.J. Lang back. I hope he didn't break his foot again, but he might have. He played with a broken foot for weeks. This is the kind of courage that these guys. He's just a leader. And he wants so desperately to be back, but he's 30 years old. So there's a decision for Ted Thompson, you know, a couple on offense. What are you going to do with Clay Matthews? He's got the shoulder. He never was the same after that devastating hit he took, ironically, from a former Packer. Alec Barber was a clean hit, but Clay never saw it coming, I think, in Philadelphia. And, you know, tough as nails kind of guy. I think he wants to play outside, but he's a $15 million guy who hasn't been performing that way the past couple of years. Maybe you move him inside and draft a pass rusher. Randall Cobb is another incredible gamer, but he signed a big contract and really hasn't performed up to it. He has played hurt. He has come through with some great games, most notably Seattle. Late in the season, but I think that Cobb is someone maybe you want to say, we need to have you take a pay cut, and here's an opportunity to move the money back. What about Julius Peppers, Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. 37 years old? I think he gives you some big plays occasionally, but I don't know if you can bring him back. I don't know if he's going to come back or if he'll announce retirement. Micah Hyde is a great versatile player out of Iowa who's been just a super utility man in the backfield. Do you want him to come back? He's a free agent. He wants to be back. That's another decision. But I know draft-wise or free agent-wise, they've got to come up with a big, speedy playmaker in the back who can stay with someone such as Julio Jones, because it was just pitch and catch with Matt Ryan. There was no chance. And, you know, Big E, they also need to get a pass rush. I know Ryan gets rid mm-hmm. of that ball quickly, and with all the weapons he has, my gosh, Coleman and Freeman, I mean, those incredible running backs who mm-hmm. can catch it out of the backfield. And Sanu was a great free agent pickup. So, you know, you've got to be able to defend against these people. I don't think Atlanta's going anywhere for a while, do you? So
these
are some of the decisions I think that the Packers have to make, because, again, the window is starting to close on Aaron Rodgers. He'll be 34 in December. He definitely wants to keep playing. He keeps himself in tip-top shape. Thankfully, he made it through the season, even when he had issues with himself with the lower legs, and still managed to play a terrific. I mean, he threw 40 touchdown passes and 7 picks after what was for him a slow start, received all the criticism they were tough. Mike McCarthy should go. Ted Thompson should go. And the team gets all the way to the NFC Championship and 8 straight years in the postseason. Only the New England Patriots, who seem to be on another level, can say that. So a lot to be proud of, but I think if they want to get to where they are, I think if Aaron Rodgers retires with only one Super Bowl, it would be a shame, same as it was with Brett Favre. And ironically, I think they were both 27 when they won Super Bowls, and you started to think, oh, there'll be many more. And for the Pack with Favre, they got there the next year only to be upset by Denver. So on and on and on I could go, you know, listeners left and right. But uh-huh. they're close, Biggie. but they've got to do something to get over the hump. And I come back to the numbers we spouted out on defense. You're not going to win any chance. The Packers have not had a top-flight defense since 2010. And you'll recall, Big E, that that's when they won Super Bowl
45.
That's right.
That's right.
Rodgers under center.
Yes, the focus, it needs to be on the defensive side of the ball in the offseason. It really has got to improve. And we have certainly been covering all the highs and the lows of one of professional sports' most loved, beloved teams, and that is the Green Bay Packers, with our very own Tom Pippins from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. We love you, Tom. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll catch up here in just a few weeks. Thanks so much.
Back at you, Big E, and the best listeners in the world. God's blessings to all, and thanks for the privilege.
Absolutely. See ya. You bet. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, we are back at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Did you know that last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive? Call or click today and find out what you can save. Well, right now we're going to shift gears. We are going to zero in specifically on the New England Patriots and their quarterback in Tom Brady. Tom Brady and Matt Ryan, of course, the Falcons QB, they were fantastic during the 2016 regular season, leading their teams to Super Bowl 51. But a lot of questions. We've been talking about it. Is Tom Brady the best? Here to answer all of these questions is Sean Glennon. He is the author of Tom Brady versus the NFL, The Case for Football's Greatest Quarterback, and you can check out his website for the book. That is TomBradyVsTheNFL.com. Good evening, Sean. It's nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, listen, I know you have got to be fired up that your guy is appearing in his seventh Super Bowl. He's already won 4 Super Bowl rings, and he will potentially win his 5th on Super Bowl Sunday. What do you think about him being in the big game?
I think it's it's one of those things that never gets to be ho hum, right? When the players you love are in the Super Bowl, you're excited even when it's the seventh time.
Yeah, and I was telling our producer earlier that Tom Brady has played in more Super Bowls than the entire Falcons roster. That's a pretty profound statement in itself.
That certainly says something. Yes, he's been in more playoff games than most NFL franchises, though. So there's a lot of that going around.
Now, Sean, talk to me about this. I mean, everyone knows that a championship organization, it cannot be established and have success without two major components, in your head coach and a franchise quarterback. How have these two been able to have such, you know, an incredible run and have a sustained winning record? And as I had just mentioned, I mean, appearing in their seventh Super Bowl, what do you share in the book about that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, it is always the right combination of quarterback and coach, and we've seen it over and over in NFL history. You know, we saw it with Lombardi and Starr, and we saw it with Walsh and Montana, and I bring those guys up in comparison to Belichick and Brady for a couple of reasons. One is that I think Starr and Montana are also among the greatest who ever played the game, as were their coaches among the greatest, but also because in all of those situations, it's about finding a quarterback who meshes sort of perfectly with the way that the coach wants to run his team and run his offense. And you know, we talk a lot about system quarterbacks, and that's a tag that's often directed at Tom Brady in sort of a negative. But it's true of him, and I see it as a positive. And it was a positive of Montana, and it was a positive of Starr. They ran their coaches' quarterback. They internalized their coaches' systems, and they ran those systems on the field as if they were an extension of that coach.
What did you share in terms of with just the special relationship that Tom Brady has with Bill Belichick, and you know how they have been able to just weather so many, you know, whether it's been Deflategate or the controversies, and they're still thriving. They're still coming out on top, and here he is on the game's biggest platform and stage next week right here in Houston at Super Bowl 51.
Right, and you know, it's funny because we don't know what, we have an idea of what Belichick looks like without Brady, but we don't know what Brady looks like without Belichick. So you look at Brady as a guy who meshes really well with his coach in terms of, you know, Belichick drives people crazy by never saying anything, and Brady sort of does the same thing. Is that how he's naturally wired, or did he say, "Boy, this is what the coach wants, and this is what I'm going to do"? It's sort of hard to say, though. You know, evidence going back to college and before that suggests that Brady is a guy who wants to be coached, who understands what the value of a good coach and strong coaching brings to his game, and so he's going to go along with whatever it is that works.
And you know, Sean, when I think about Tom Brady, I mean, physically, mentally, just emotionally, how in the world has he stayed on top of his game? You look at him, I mean, he's a beautiful man to look at. I mean, 39 years of age, but he doesn't look like he's 39. He doesn't look weathered. He doesn't look beat up. I mean, you compare him side to side like an Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he looks completely different than even, I think, a year ago, Peyton Manning with his retirement with the Broncos last year at 39 years of age.
Right, yeah, and we hear a lot here in New England, and I don't know how much of it gets out of the region about, you know, Brady's diet and his avocado ice cream that he eats, and
oh, wow. Okay.
and the sort of yeah, and the health regimen that he maintains, get a lot of information about how much that has to do with it, and I know that Tom certainly believes in that, and he's very serious about his training, and I think all of those things are part of it. I also think that Brady is pretty fortunate in that he hasn't sustained the kind of injuries that you would expect to see of a quarterback who's had his longevity in the league. You know, obviously he missed the season in 2008 with a knee injury, and he's had injuries. You know, he played through a hand, and he played with a shoulder injury for many years, but he hasn't had the sort of kind of injuries that you saw pile up on Manning, and that really sort of derailed Manning's ability to play the game the way he wanted to at the end of his career, at the end of last season. You know, and that have also plagued people like Joe Montana at the end of their careers. Now, that may yet happen to Brady because he's apparently hasn't reached the end of his career,
right,
though people would have expected him to, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay, so Sean, how many more years do you think that he has left in his tank? I mean, he looks like he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, Patriots fans hate to hear me say this, but I think after this, if we get two good years out of Tom Brady, we should be very, very thankful. You know, I don't. You know, you start to get into your 40s, and stuff starts to go wrong, no matter what you're doing. And when you're taking hits left and right, I don't care what your diet is and what your training regimen is. Eventually, that stuff is going to catch up with you. Now, I'll be delighted if I'm wrong and Tom Brady's right, and he plays well to 44 or 45 years old. But if I see it from him, it'll be the first time I've ever seen it.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I mean, what do you see him doing after his playing days? I mean, he's got that face for TV. I mean, he could do the little John Gruden there, but or would you anticipate that he would go into coaching?
It's hard for me to imagine Brady going into coaching. You know, the demands for your time are so great, and the rewards, at least early on, are so minimal that you know, I think that's why a lot of the sort of great, really great players don't go into coaching. He's certainly got the head for it. One suspects that if he were to walk away, say they win the Super Bowl and he decides that's it for me, I don't think that's going to happen. That he's going to want to spend some time with his family and with his kids, and we know that when you go into TV, mm-hmm. you get a lot more opportunities to do that than when you go into coaching. So I would expect of those two options, he's more likely to go into TV than to become a coach, but well, who knows?
Hey, Sean Glennon is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is a sports historian. He is the author of the book, Tom Brady versus the NFL, The Case for Football's Greatest Quarterback. And as I understand, I mean, when you go through the book, this is not a book that was about Deflategate. And I think, you know, going through Deflategate and how he had to sit out with those first four games of the season, he really came out on fire. And that, in my way, really gave us a glimpse of his heart, you know, his character and what he's made of, and that he wasn't going to let that set him back.
Yeah, he didn't let that set him back, and in fact, it seems to have lit a fire under him. You know, it's kind of, that's at least the conventional wisdom, right, is that this is the Deflategate revenge tour that the Patriots have been on. What I see is a guy who has been from the very beginning of his career, from, you know, the point where he was, you know, Drew Bledsoe's backup here in New England, has been driven to succeed. So there's part of me that wonders, well, is this the Tom Brady we would have seen this year regardless? Is he raging against age as much as he is against Deflategate, or is it just, you know, this is a team that has an awful lot of talent, and it has talent in places the Patriots haven't always had. He's also got a sort of a revitalized offensive line that he's playing behind. So maybe this season was going to come no matter what, but it is a lot of fun to think of it as Brady taking out Deflategate on the rest of the league.
Okay, so Tom Brady, he has won 4 Super Bowls, going for his 5th next Sunday. Do you think he's going to win?
Yes, I do. As I look at the matchups in this game, you know, I keep hearing about the number one scoring offense against the number one scoring defense, and I think that that's a great thing to focus on. It makes an easy story, but I also look at the other side of the ball, and you've got the number 3 scoring offense in
right.
the Patriots against the number 27 scoring defense in Atlanta, and that's bad news for the Falcons.
Absolutely. Hey, Sean Glennon's been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check out his new book, author of Tom Brady versus the NFL, The Case for Football's Greatest Quarterback. And you can check out this book at his website at TomBradyVsTheNFL.com. Thank you so much, Sean. First time on the show. We'd love to have you back again.
Alyssa, thanks so much for having me, and anytime you like.
Of course. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Lydia Reeder is next, author of Dust Bowl Girls.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. In our final segment tonight, hey, we're going to power down a bit. We are going to take time for a book review, and it is an inspiring story of a team that barnstormed its way to basketball glory. Lydia Reeder is the author, and she tells the amazing story of a women's basketball team and the challenges that they faced being athletes during the 1920s and the 30s. And it is, it's a little-known chapter in sports history about a pioneering group of women who gave Americans hope during the worst of the Great Depression. Such a pleasure to have with us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is author Lydia Reeder, and the title of her new book is Dust Bowl Girls, the inspiring story of the team that barnstormed its way to basketball glory. Good evening.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm great. It's wonderful to have you on our show tonight and at SB Nation Radio. And I just want to start off by saying this is an amazing book. It is an amazing read. Congratulations on that. And I understand it's your very first book to produce, correct?
It is. It's my very first book.
Well, and it is very close to your heart because as you read the story, the head coach of this women's basketball team was Sam Babb, and that is or was your great uncle. So pull back the curtain for us. Take us, you know, give us a walk down memory lane, how you were able to capture this book in a time when in history when, you know, female athletes faced a lot of intense scrutiny from influential figures, whether it was, you know, in education, politics or medicine. They really denounced women's sports as unhealthy. Healthy and unladylike. What were they thinking, Lydia?
Well, indeed, back then, girls who loved to play competitive sports battled every day against those traditional expectations of ladylike behavior. You know, sometimes the epicness for women back then was just being able to play. Mm-hmm. And Sam Babb, who was my great uncle, happened to love coaching women's basketball. He himself never played because he had lost a leg as a teenager and walked with a wooden prosthetic. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about coaching women and the way they loved teamwork that really inspired him. And also he was excellent at recruiting especially the smartest players, the ones who could make good grades and also work really hard at basketball.
The title of the new book is Dust Bowl Girls, the inspiring story of the team that barnstormed its way to basketball glory. Lydia Reeder is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com and give us your thoughts. You can give us a tweet at E Radio Sports. So Sam Babb, that is and was your great uncle. And as I understand, he was the coach of the Oklahoma Presbyterian College Cardinals women's basketball team. And he truly was. My take ways from going through this is that he was a guy that was ahead of his time. I mean, he traveled the countryside and recruited, as you were just sharing, you know, talented, smart, hardworking young women and offered them a chance of a lifetime, a college scholarship to play on his team. So what was that like for these women, their experience playing under your former great uncle?
Oh, my goodness. And I was fortunate to interview six living players, but that was over 10 years ago. And they all had kind of their different versions of playing under Coach Babb. But they all, every one of them, did agree that he was very, very strict. He had lots of rules that he wanted them to follow, mainly because they were under a lot of scrutiny, but also they didn't, you know, they had to pay their way. So he wanted to make sure that the team was good enough to attract a good crowd to watch them play. But it was very interesting. And Lucille Thurman, one of the main characters mm-hmm. in the books, right. and one of the young women who goes on to become one of the best players of the late 1930s, she had started a book about her life that described her basketball life. And in it, she described what she had learned from Coach Babb, which was basically discipline and hard work. And I think that was what was expected from them every day.
So how did he convince so many of these young women to leave home? You're talking about leaving home for the first time, their families, their responsibility. Many of these, these women, they were, worked on the farm during a period of such great hardship and challenge. I can't imagine that their parents allowed them to go off and go play the sport of basketball. I mean, Sam Babb, in many ways, he was a visionary and a trailblazer. But my goodness, how in the world did he convince them?
Well, they were all really great athletes in high school. So some of them had dreams, I think, of going and playing for the Industrial League teams anyway that were really popular back then. But he did have to convince their parents. And besides being a psychology professor, he also loved politics and he loved debate, and he mm-hmm. could really make a good speech about what was being offered to these young women and how they would be taken care of. And I don't think he had any problem convincing the parents. He was so charismatic and actually enthusiastic mm-hmm. about what they would learn at Oklahoma Presbyterian College.
It is beautifully written, the inspiring story of the team that barnstormed its way to basketball glory, Dust Bowl Girls, and the author, Lydia Reeder. Congratulations and continued success in all that you do. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was Lydia Reeder, author of her new book, Dust Bowl Girls. A special thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight. We'll see you next weekend for Super Bowl 51 right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.